Well, it's not too bad here today. It was 62 degrees and the sun just came out. We had a cloudy morning, kind of dark, but that was okay. I wanted to sleep in. And the sun just came out, which is perfect for our blessing. So everything seems to work in perfect order. And people are milling around doing their last minute shopping and food gathering and families joining. You know, I love this time of year, totally in addition to the sacred part of it, because it's the time when you can look out and see kids playing in the street, and it's safe for them to be playing in the street, and families coming together, and people thinking about what can I give my aunt or my uncle, and picking up the last few presents for their kids. I went shopping yesterday at PetSmart to get toys for my cat. So, you know, it's a happy season. That's, it's just inherently happy. It was happy because of what brought the day around. It's happy because of what we celebrate. And I just enjoy the happiness of being with you. So, Nancy, how is it with your family? Is everybody gathered?
Yeah, we have got Leo and Amy are here with little baby Arthur, and he's like a little butterball, that's what we call him, because he's just thriving. And so they're here and having fun. We're going to be with the rest of the kids tomorrow. So it's kind of a quiet night tonight, which is nice. And
that's good.
Yeah, it's usually chaos, but I do have good news for everybody. We're fully in the house, and we finished it yesterday.
Oh, perfect timing. Yeah. The Lord is with you.
Yeah, we're glad for this little downtime and just kind of resting. And the blessing call couldn't come at a more perfect time to sit down and breathe and gather my heart and thoughts. And so, yeah, it's been good.
Okay. That is really good news. I'm so happy for you. And I know how hard you work on getting that recovered, because I've been there and done that. I just got an email from a dear friend that some of you may remember as my webmaster years and years ago. That was Greg Drieber. He and his late wife took over a house that had virtually been burned out. I mean, it was gutted from fire. And send me pictures of the renewed home. Oh, my Lord, it could make better homes and gardens. That was a miracle restoration. So I was thinking this year for our Christmas Day, we work on the theme of restoration, celebrating restorations we have had in the past year. And most of all, celebrating, restorations we need to have also, and most of all, celebrating the restoration that Yeshua brought to the human family. He gave us an example of perfection again within humanity, something we have not seen since the beginning of creation, because, you know, we try our best and we miss the mark, and then we try to cover that up, and because we covered it up instead of restoring ourselves, we're going to miss the mark again, because when you're off balance, you don't shoot straight. It's about as simple as that, and you don't mean to be bad. You don't mean to be missing the mark, but when you're off center, it's hard to get. I know I took up archery once upon a time, and if the wind hit you just enough to cause you to shift in your feet, you couldn't hit the center target at all, no matter how good you were. And so he brought back our centering, and it didn't exactly start this day, because we know from all the historical records that for him, the Alpha and Omega were virtually about the same time at Passover. But we celebrate this day because It's the cosmic birthday. And in his resurrection, he became the new king of the cosmos. And this, right at the winter solstice, is the cosmic birthday of the new year. So it's really a perfect day for us to celebrate, because we celebrate a new opportunity in life for us, which he brought to us, the new year, which will unfold in ways that were not possible in the previous year, and we celebrate his ascension to the high governance of creation. And I think it's a perfect shift in emphasis, although I still like to celebrate his birth and his eternal birth on Easter. So did the early church. That's the only day they celebrated. They did not celebrate Christmas, not for 400 years, because that was the Roman holiday. And so it took a while to produce this shift in emphasis. But I'm glad that it happened. I'm glad for the victory that's implied in it. I'm really happy for the worldwide global influence that's implied in it. Because he was born a Jew, but he wasn't just Jewish. He came here for all of us. And everything he taught and promised was for all of us. And so I'm kind of glad that his birthday represents a global perspective. I don't make these corrections for you with any judgment at all. I just like to celebrate everything that belongs to him, because he's pretty dear to me. And I would love to invite all of you to express your gratitude for transformations you had in the last year and transformations you need in the next year. I think it would be a really good theme for us today. So, Nancy? Yeah, yes. I'm going to turn the board over to you, okay?
Okay. Well, I love that topic, and I love restoration and tying in with transformation. So I know we've got our community that are just coming pouring in to share their thoughts and their hearts. So I'm going to open the first caller we have is, hi, Scott. We've got you on the line. Can you hear us?
Sure can. Hey, hey.
Merry Christmas.
Blessing, thanks. I'll be playing with a group of very good musicians at a service this evening. And I had to learn new progressions quite quickly. And a kind thought would be also appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are you playing? You're playing the drums still?
I'll be doing guitar, and we'll be doing some Christmas stuff. Yeah. So I'm looking forward. It's a huge privilege.
That's great. Well, have a wonderful time, and make it the Christmas you always dreamed of, okay?
All right.
Yeah.
Let's know how it goes.
You will go great. You know, services are the music make them, you know? It's just wonderful you're part of that. That's so wonderful, Scott.
Cool. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Is anything else, Scott? Or
Oh, no. Appreciated the support there.
Okay, we'll be thinking of you. Glenda, we have Aria. Hi, Aria.
Hi. Merry Christmas.
Hello,
Glenda. Hello, everyone. Yes, I have noticed a transformation, and I'm very grateful to be more into the Christ consciousness energy and less in the human, although we're in the body. Yes, I have a few requests. I have a friend, two friends, they're a couple, Elisa and Elliot. They're both going through health issues, not doing good, and also mentally for Elisa, she's not doing so great. And my dog Jamie with his heart condition, and his left nostril is blocked, and we've been doing everything the vet said, but it's hard for him to breathe.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah, yeah. And then more harmony and joy in my life and my relationships. But the biggest thing is, you know, what I would love to achieve is more of the Christed consciousness, you know, while being on the earth.
That's a great goal for all of us, you know. And that's why he was born, actually. Before he was born, he was on the highest of the highest plane. So, of course, he was in Christ consciousness. But it's quite a challenge to be in that and also be human.
totally.
You know? And the last, of course, the greatest challenge he had was to retain his divinity and experience physical death, which is what ultimately completely united him with the human race, and the creator of the human race totally united as well. So our separation from God was healed in that magnificent act of sacrifice and transcendence. But what he was beginning on the day of his birth was experiencing the human condition as a soul that had never known imperfection. And I'm sure it was an interesting journey for him.
Me too. Me too. He's amazing. I am so grateful for his presence, and I really feel closer to him through this community, through you and everyone on this community. So I'm very grateful for that. But I need to keep growing. I need to keep growing and not let the human thing get in the way of that. Well, that's my prayer.
Okay. Well, I will join you in that. Same here. And one thing, I'll take this occasion to, I've presented it many times, but I'll take this occasion to reinforce that message, is that Yeshua did not come to this world to start a religion. In fact, he wasn't even interested in religion. He didn't care what the priest had to say. He didn't even bother to correct them what they were teaching. He just basically said, well, just get on with your business, do what you do. You know, I'll do what I do. And he didn't judge them, but he didn't have much to do with them. And when he talked to the apostles, again, he didn't teach them anything about religion. He didn't create a church. He told them that what they were carrying out to the world was the way. And earlier in a message to them, it connects with an earlier message, and that is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, I am. Well, what I'm going to connect that with a message he gave to me when I asked him, why in the name of heaven did you want me to paint you? I said, it's an honor beyond description, but why, when the greatest artists in the history of this world have all painted you, and there's probably more paintings of you than could fit in the Louvre, why another one? And he said, well, I'll tell you, most of them were to illustrate some passage in the Bible or to strengthen the continuity of a religion that had been created about me. And he said, I just want people to know me. And I got it. I really got it. And I got that I wasn't here to forward a religion. And I thought about my affirmative statement along my pathway toward him was when I was in college. And those were the what we students call the Jesus freak days, because there were newly converted Christians who were pretty advocates about recruiting new ones. And they would go around and say, have you been saved? Have you been saved? To the point of, it was kind of obnoxious. It wasn't compassionate or, you know, it was irritating. And one day I was driving home from, I was at TCU then, and I was driving home to my parents' home in Weatherford, which is about 20 miles away, going for the weekend. And this car passed me with bumper stickers all over it saying, honk if you've been saved. Honk if you love Jesus. And I pulled over to the side of the road instead of honking.
Right.
And I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, but these people don't help me to know you. And I never found you in my church. But I'll never stop looking until I find you.
Wow.
And that's what began the whole epic that would lead to what I'm doing now. Actually, the next semester, I enrolled in two theology courses at TCU, which was not very revealing on my pathway. One was the history of world religions, which was interesting. I'm glad to have that knowledge under my belt, but it didn't get me to my goal. And the other was the history of early Christianity, which also didn't get me to my goal. But it was good preparation for what I'm doing now. I understand the church better now. I understand why we have a church. We have a church because people need to get together and confirm their faith with one another. They need to have the love. They need to give and receive the love of one another in community and communion. So there's a very, very important role for churches. But sometimes the theology of religions has been a little too aggressive, and then churches break away and say, no, we don't believe that. We're going to go over here and believe something else. And the belief prescribed in theology became more important than knowing him. Okay. And that's why by the time I was born in the 20th century, there wasn't much way you could get to know him inside a church. Sure, you would sing praise songs to him and say prayers to him, but he wasn't the one preaching behind the pulpit. The one preaching behind the pulpit was promoting doctrine, and which is I don't disagree with, but I didn't find him in it. And morality, which is a good thing, but again, I didn't find him in it. I never stopped looking. And I realized that that's why he came in the first place, because the template from which we humans were created had been lost beneath centuries and centuries of just being human, with all of our human ideas and judgments and mistakes. We were covered up so that we couldn't even see our own innocence, our own perfection, much less the original template from which we were created. And so God, in his grace, sent that original template of our creation into the world to live as one of us and let us reconnect. You know, and that's what I learned. That's my little cat saying amen.
Well,
oh, she's got to the roof when she wants to say amen. but that's the thing that was confirmed for me when I took his painting out to the many different denominations. I was scared to death. I thought they would consider me a heretic, throw rotten eggs at me, or at least tomatoes, and expel me from the church, which some of them tried to do, but for the most part, as long as I was standing beside that painting, they had nothing but love for the painting and me, because the purpose of the painting was working. It was creating a connection between him and them. And that's all it was supposed to do. It wasn't supposed to say, this is the way I looked. It wasn't supposed to say, build a new doctrine around this painting. It wasn't to say any of those things. It was just, here I am. I came to be with you. And that's what brings us together every Sunday. He does.
Beautiful. I strongly resonate with everything you say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And going with him, everything else falls into place. And you can actually easily say, well, you know, they needed to view it that way in the 17th century. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and she says amen again. And, you know, now we need to view it in a way that will be more neutral and at the same time more loving. We need to bring the love out in everything that he spoke, because love was underneath it all. It's what it was all about.
Thank you, Aria. Thank you, Glenda.
Thank
God.
You. Thank you so much. So right on.
And,
oh, my God. Thank you.
Yeah,
it's
and
all
Glenda,
about
that,
him.
And that word restoration, it's just like for me, it's like I can't really get there without that deeper relationship with him. And, you know, it does grow and it does change. And it's interesting, my relationship with him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It just changes and it just gets better and deeper in different ways at different times, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for that message. Aria, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
We have so many wonderful callers. We have Elizabeth. We're so happy you're here today.
Of course, Nancy. I'm just on the call to just wish you, Glenda, the whole community a very merry, peaceful, loving Christmas, and to just say how grateful I am for the whole year that's gone by with all the blessing calls and the blessings I've received. And just, it is just gratitude and asking for a blessing for my brother Hugh and my sister Virginia and her friend Millie. And just for myself, like our previous caller, I want to grow in my soul's purpose and to get more out of the human and more into Yeshua's way of living, and let me be of service in the coming year, and just let me follow my soul's path, and let me be in tune and just more and more growing into my soul's purpose. And that's my prayer, that I can just do that and be more of service to everyone on the planet and help where I can and do what I can to make it a better world. And that's it. And
thank you.
Amen. And ultimate gratitude to you, Glenda, for all your faithfulness, your being here every Sunday, the untold help you've been to me and everyone who's on this call that you probably don't even know about, just how far your work spreads, and you know, it's a play it forward, and I get blessed and someone else gets blessed because of that. You're just a powerhouse, Glenda, and God bless you.
Oh, God bless you, Elizabeth and Hugh and the rest of your family.
Thank you.
May you all come together in love, and may the love lift you up. One of the things I have noticed is the more I focus on being the soul that I am and less on being the human that I am, the conflicts of the world just kind of fall away and become irrelevant. That's not that I don't care about them for the sake of others, but they don't impinge on me. And the place of peace is up. God bless you, Elizabeth, and Merry
Christmas.
Thank
you, Glenda. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Thank you,
Nancy.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for reminding us and telling, you know, Glenda, everybody feels that way. I know it, for your faithfulness and what you bring to us each week. And so, Elizabeth, thank you for putting that into such beautiful words and from your heart so beautifully. So, Merry Christmas, and God bless you. We have, I'm not sure who this is, but,
it's
512. Nancy. Oh, it's Nancy.
Yeah. Hi, Nancy. Hi, Nancy. Hi, Glenda. How are you guys doing?
Hi.
I am so, you asked me, I am grateful for every step, every breath, every person that I meet. I kind of wonder with the transition into the new year, you know, am I doing the right thing and da 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 and everything? And I realized the other day as I was massaging a person and getting them out of pain that I'm kind of there, you know, doing what I need to do, you know, and I have a print of Yeshua on my wall and that, you know, and people ask and I tell them and I direct them towards your book and I'm so grateful for everything that I have and everything that I can do. So, and I thank you because I, having this as a service, as a way to keep yourself grounded and yet still connected to the great I am is just wonderful. I'll take it. I'm one of those, I'll take anything to get me to the right path. But,
good.
Yeah. I do ask for a blessing, of course, for my sister. She's doing great right now. The things for the brain, they won't be going into her brain until February. And a blessing for me because I can't get my blood pressure down. So I ask for help. So,
all right.
Thank you.
You got it. My prayers are with you, and just relax. You know, sometimes, you know, we say to ourselves and to others, relax. And what most of the time we're talking about is relax the tension in our muscles. And as a therapist, you know, that's mostly what people come to you for. They want their muscles worked over. But actually, it's the same thing with our blood vessels, the whole arterial system. I have totally normal blood pressure, and by that I mean normal for a teenager. It's really, it's really tremendous. But if I drive for 30 minutes in high traffic with bumblebees driving, whizzing around to me and moving from front to back, by the time I get to my destination, if it's a doctor and I have my blood pressure tested, I'm up there. And what it was is that all of the whole arterial system just shrunk. It in its diameter, it shrunk, and the pressure built. 20 minutes later, I'm back to being normal. So don't forget that our arterial system is extremely flexible, and it can get as tense as a muscle. And this is why you need to meditate. This is why you need to go to high places, quiet places, where you can just really relax all of your survival tendencies. And right now, because of all the conflicts in the world, most of the time, we are at least touched, maybe not worried, but touched by the survival level circumstances all over the world. And our survival instincts have a way of tensing up every organ in our body to where our liver doesn't work properly, our kidneys don't work properly, we don't digest our food properly, and our whole arterial system goes like it was clamped down. So there is a definite psycho-spiritual component to high blood pressure.
Right. Well,
and
I've always had
just
high blood pressure,
one,
but I got
I
it down. It's normal.
Huh?
But
what?
Now it's back up.
I didn't hear you. Can you say that again?
Well, I've always had high blood pressure. I think it's genetic, but I did get it down.
No, it's not. You can completely reverse that, and know just the one that can help you. We pray.
Okay.
I pray for that to be done.
Okay. Yay!
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Keep your sister in our prayers as well. Thank you so much, Nancy. We have Christopher here. Merry Christmas, Christopher. Welcome.
Oh, wow. Merry Christmas. I hope you can hear me okay. I was just walking, and I'm driving back to my place now to get ready for the blessing, but I just really needed to call in and say everybody so grateful, and I wish everyone a blessed, miraculous Christmas. And in response to Glenda's inquiry about restoration, I can't say enough about how much making that connection with Yeshua has restored me. What you said, Glenda, really resonated, that when we have that connection with Him, everything else falls into place. And I found that this last year, specifically, I found myself coming into a space of belonging that I never felt before. And so that it was really through that connection with Him and following His guidance that I found myself into a place of feeling like I belong in a way that I never had before in my life. And that even church, which was such a aversion to me, became a welcoming place. So I'm so grateful for that, and I'm very deeply grateful for the ways that I'm finding integration in my life, where I'm seeing that He's helping my clients. I mean, in miraculous ways. I was just like, wow. I mean, if you hear some of the things people are saying about what's happening to them, their business, their money situation, you know, the things that are turning around for people, their housing situation. I'm just so grateful for that. And I pray for more of it. One thing I would say in terms of next, you know, this next year of blessing, is that, you know, part of the gift of feeling like I didn't belong made me very, very creative, very innovative, very adaptable. Very adaptable. And I think it puts stress on me to have to always be generating on my own. And so I think part of my prayer for a blessing for continued restoration is finding a balance where there's a sense of belonging in terms of my work, where I don't have to be, I feel it coming. I feel him helping me and edging me toward it. But I feel like I have lived in a survival mentality and pushed from that place so much of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to feel that there's more, I'm more held by him, by God, by spirit, and by community, by a wider, I never had a sense of a name. This is the place where I fit in society. And not saying I want that necessarily, but a way of feeling held and supported as I move forward on the practical level of work and money and so forth, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's such a great way of saying it, Christopher. I really love how you express that need.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been tough. It's been a journey and, you know, coming to that place of patience with it. Because of him. Because of him. Because he's
That's
made
right.
me feel peace in a way that I never felt before. So
amen. Yeah. And that's exactly what can happen. And more. and more. For some people, it's peace. For others, it's love. For some, it's the right place in existence. And getting back to my presentation earlier, he was the perfect original template for which all humanity was created. Now, when we know him, then we can get back to the perfect template which we as a person was created. You know, when he told me, love is who you are, which is the first thing he told me, love is who you are. Well, that's hard to comprehend, actually, you know, and that's probably the most common question people have asked me, like, what do you mean? What is it? How do I get there? Because it's a big question next. Well, if love is who I am, how do I find it? Because not everything that runs through my mind is loving. So how do I find it? Well, okay. The way you find it is you've got to get back to the perfect template of your life. Because really, in terms of human existence, it's appropriate at times to be annoyed with things that are harmful. It's appropriate to be sad at times of great loss. It's appropriate to be quizzical when you don't understand. So, you know, he told me later in a conversation that he actually had some thoughts and reservations about telling me that love is who I am, because he said, I thought you could run with that, but I was a little afraid of releasing it in the world because so few people were ready to know that. And he and I had a laugh together, and I said, yeah, tell me about it. You probably remember all the questions I've received in that regard. And he said, well, you know, sometimes you have to just take a chance. And so he's got a real sense of humor, which is one of the things, the warmest and most delightful things about him is he could laugh, and he had a sense of humor and the warmth that he had, but nothing that was an emotion away from the emotion of love canceled any part of the love that he was. And I think that's the thing people need to understand is when we talk about, Christopher, maybe mute your line because it's pretty busy right now. Okay. Because we as humans tend to think of love as the emotion of love. And we don't always feel that as an emotion, even with our kids that we would die for because we love beyond the depths of our heart. But we don't always feel the emotion because they're getting on our nerves. Maybe they're misbehaving. Maybe they got to be corrected, or too many problems are all happening at the same time. But we get through those problems, and love is always there. It's always there. And so I think his hesitation that he took a chance on is that we would confuse the emotion of love with the deeper power of love from which we were created. So, and I think we had to be created from the power of love. Otherwise, how could we ultimately reunion ourselves or restore our connection with our Father God, who is the purity of love? So it's got to be at our core foundation. And I think that as I got more and more back toward the basic imprint of my life, the template from which I was created, the more it's okay for me to not understand something. It's more because I'll ask questions. It's gotten more okay for me to be a little confused or even a little annoyed, because then it'll trigger me to go fix it. You know, when you're at the core of your foundation, then these other emotions that come in are just signals to you that something needs to be rebalanced. Something needs to be forgiven. Something needs to be fixed. Something needs to be restored or repaired. And it's okay to have a whole rainbow of emotions, because they're all just communication signals about when something is to be embraced or something needs to be fixed. And it's all right, because you're at the template of your being. And I think this is basically what you're saying, Christopher, is that in knowing the template of perfection for all humanity, you're able to reconnect with your own perfect template. And then you can make sense of the world. If something needs to be fixed, you fix it. If something needs to be connected with, you rush in and hug it. And it gets to be more and more like that as we get closer to our own template of life from which we were created.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. I think of, he said it in the gospel at some point where he said, you know, if you hold on to yourself, you're not going to find me or yourself. But if you let go of yourself, you'll find us both. And then C.S. Lewis said it so beautifully. If you seek earth, you'll miss out on heaven. No, if you seek heaven, you'll get the earth thrown in. But if you seek the earth, you'll lose them both. And I feel like that's what I hear you saying is the more that I seek that template in him. I think what I was trying to do was seek it in myself, in my soul, apart from him. And that did not work. He drew me closer to him. The closer I tried to get to my own soul, I felt like I needed that nurturing and that comfort and that connection, that intimacy of relationship with him. And then the more I've had it with him, the more I felt my own. And also it's drawn me into relationship with other people and even groups that I would have never been part of before. Because I needed that nurturance as well of social human connection. So thank you so much, Glenda, for that sharing. Very beautiful.
You're welcome, Christopher. And, you know, confirm everything you were saying, he went around the streets and the boroughs of the Holy Land and picked his apostles from the most unexpected places, fishermen, tax collectors, carpenters, and ordinary men working ordinary jobs, being ordinary human beings on this earth. And not a single one of them understood him in the beginning, except they recognized him as something, as someone they should follow. That was the key. That's all they needed to know. They didn't need to be students of Jewish protocol. They didn't need to be, they didn't need to go to talk with priests or rabbis. They didn't need to even go to the synagogue every Sabbath. They were just ordinary working men. But the one thing they recognized when he approached them is that he was the one they came for. And he was the one that was followed. Okay? And they had no trouble recognizing that. And by the end of their lives, they had become men of such stature, they changed the world.
Yes. You know, and part of the blessing, Glenda, you know, and Christopher and community is, you know, that he did lift our burdens and then he set our spirits free. And I think that's what everybody's yearning, and that's what they found. He set their spirits free, and they were, of course they knew, you know. He was there.
Exactly.
Everything.
Well, he set us free from the burdens of the world. And that's a word. That's one of the most misunderstood words in the Bible, and actually in parlance about what's going on in the world. Okay, let me help you clarify that. All right, the world is not the universe,
Did you ever think it was? Of course not. The world is not even the planet. I doubt that you ever thought that either. When we talk about the planet, we're not talking about the world. Are we really? We're not talking about the stars and the planets and the moon or the seasons, or certainly not the cosmic realm of the heavens. That's not the world. And so often, theologians get this word really, really misapplied, because they'll say, well, when God created the world and everything in it, and you ask him for an explanation, and they think the world means the firmament.
Mm-hmm.
Create the firmament and the water. And it's not even the water. The water is everything that flows. The firmament is everything that's solid. And so God created the solid and the flowing. Okay, we could go on. I'm not going to recount the book of Genesis right now. But the world, he didn't create. In fact, when we go all the way through the creation of everything, we see that he created all of the plants and the animals of the earth. And that's what it says, the earth. And then he realized there was something missing. And that was his children, his family, his companionship, being on the earth. Well, we disappointed him, and he sent us out to another dimension that was set apart for us to learn our lessons in and to grow in, and we created that, and that's the world, my friends. That's the world, and it's not perfect, because it was created from the need for us to have a playground, a little red schoolhouse, if you were, where we could explore all the things we think are important that aren't, that we think we need that we don't, and all the behavior that we think would be good, but it isn't. And those have made up the world. And if we actually understood that, then we would begin to see that we can live without the world. We just need to be united and restored to our place in creation, that we can be the bridge between heaven and earth, not the bridge between heaven and the world. The world will at some point just dissolve. It'll go away like the illusion it actually is. God allowed us to have an illusion. He allowed us to build sandcastles on the beach, if you will, that the tide will eventually wash away. We will be the bridge between heaven and earth. And the earth is beautiful. The earth was created with perfection. And the animals and the plants never betray their plan of creation. Partly because they weren't given free will. So, I mean, they serve creation. And they serve it with courage. And they serve it with love and integrity to be all that they are. And they're so deserving of our love and our protection. Mm-hmm. They are so deserving because they have a rightful place in existence, created by the one who created the heavens and the earth. And we actually do not need the world. And this is why in so many different religions, as advocates and students and priests or holy men and women get further along in their spiritual progress, they will join monasteries or ashrams or places apart from the world in order to find their place uniting heaven and earth. So they knew what they were looking for, and they knew that they had to leave the world to find it. This is why you need to be in prayer a little bit, I would say every day, and in meditation as often as you can, and to work in and to walk in the meadows and the forest, to be in the earth that God created. It really draws your connection closer, because in that area, his connection is totally solid.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And I think that actually we have been very misguided to worry so much about the earth, because there's not a thing our Creator cannot cure in the blink of an eye, because that's his creation.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to be worried about is the world.
Right.
That was our creation. And that's what we need to be fixing, my friends, or stepping out of, one or the other, your preference. At some point, he will make the earth so incredibly beautiful, so ready for us to come home, that we will just step into it and the world will vanish.
Okay.
And that is the coming of heaven on earth.
Mm. Yay. Thank you, Glenda.
Because don't exalt the world as if it's something God created and then it failed. Nothing God created ever failed or ever will fail, including us. He just gave us the free rein to explore our potential. And that was part of his intentional creation. And boy, did we explore it. Okay, my friends, I think I've said enough. Thank you for
Merry
Christmas.
Love you.
Love you too.
Merry Christmas. Glenda, we have Susan. How are you? Merry, Merry Christmas.
What a Christmas gift you got by having the house ready. I don't have to call you now.
That's a good part of the world.
Finding myself, I got to call Judy because I'm feeling Tony a lot and I keep distracted. So again, I'm on the call and I said, I got to remind myself to call Judy. But I wish, you know, everybody I know and Desmond and Tony and those who've crossed over and everybody on the call, for all the years that they're sharing their, you know, their stories and their blessings. But I had an interesting, I have a little story I want to share. And I'm like drawn, and for the longest time, forever I can remember, for inspirational, I don't care if it's movies, if it's TV, you know, if it's inspirational, I'm drawn to it.
Mm-hmm.
I
That's
do.
Good.
Absolutely, it's good. Work. I'm sure I mentioned it a gazillion times that what started me on the path was Overeaters Anonymous and studying from, you know, the books, our books, and also the alcoholic books. So I go to meetings twice a week, and one of them is 12 Step. They're 12 Traditions, the book, the big book, they call it, or we call it. I have phone meetings, and I have one of the additions that a few of the other women don't have. So there are certain stories that I'm not okay. Sometimes I just listen, or sometimes they'll read something else that I do have. And 2 weeks ago, I picked a story for it as they were starting to read and share. And I said, and I really can't find it. I might not have it. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I said, oh, here it is. I said, I can read. I can share in the reading. And I started to when we went through the time period and so forth. And if we don't, we kind of remember. Although most of the time, I don't remember. I rely on somebody else to remember. We left off and even the name of what story we were reading. So for some reason, I mean, I was on with and a few other people have yet to, and we started, and Oh, I said, I remembered. I usually don't even remember from the week before. I said, oh, we were reading the story. There is a solution. I remembered it, and I was surprised by my looking, and I can't find it. Her name is Susan, too. You start reading. I'm sure I read for that. And she's reading and reading on the call, and I couldn't find it. It wasn't in my book. And I said, I looked thoroughly again. Not in my book.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't in there. It's not in there. But found it at first the week before, and then found it and started reading from it and being a part of the reading thing every so often I'd read. It was in the book 2 weeks ago, and I found it when I couldn't find it at first. And the next week, when we were finishing that story, wasn't in. Oh, and I said, I don't know why. One of my inspirational, and I'm watching, it's a good one, and out of nowhere, it comes to me as I'm watching this. It's meant for you, because you're going through a tough time with your son and his wife and all the drama around all this. And my trying to stay out, but be there, and always looking up and turning it over and tell you there is a solution. M.G. I had to share that. And I, to get stuff like, it amazes me that on the quantum level, I can't do. I mean, will I always get, I don't even get, I'm not sure what I'll get, but there's nothing they can't do. And amazing to me that I could read from a book that story. But for that moment and for that day, that story until we stopped reading, and the next day it was the next week. I thought everybody would chuckle from here and something like that, but I want to wish everybody a great year. And every time I sign off, and every time is the light, the heart, and the rainbow bridge, and that is connecting the heavens to earth. And oh, Glenda, you it was so powerful, driving home the difference between the world and the earth. In the heavens, and I need to look up. Bless you for it. Thank you.
Exactly.
For everything.
Okay. Well, God bless you too, Susan. And we're so glad that you're following your inspiration. And looks like it's following you too.
Thank you.
I think it's stalking you.
I love it. I love you, and I love this community.
Well, we're so glad
you're
doing
some phenomenal work.
Okay.
I thought I missed that.
What?
Okay.
I just said we love you, too.
No, I missed the blessing. I'm glad I got that. Thank you. Thank you.
Blessing to you and your family, Susan. We're so glad you're here today.
Oh, me too, Nancy. And so glad you're in your home. Wow, what a gift that is.
Thank you. We love you. Merry Christmas.
That is incredible.
I know. Okay, Glenda, we have some more callers. We have, I think this is Stormy.
Yes. I'm bringing all the angels into this call today.
Okay.
All of my symphonic host of angels. I had a beautiful Christmas present a couple of days ago. My daughter Jennifer allowed me, with her permission, to sing on the phone one of my notes. And she's heard my music, heard me sing. And this day, she experienced the peace that passes all understanding. and she has never experienced it like this before. And it was a very, very special blessing that I was allowed to let her hear some of her original self. Just like when I'm allowed to put my hand on people's chest and say, love is who you are. And for the most part, it is a profound experience for the people that allow me to be an instrument of God, to see the love that they are. And they look back and they go, wow, so that's who I am. And I say, now you have the rest of your life to unfold that. So many different ways God uses me to bless individuals at the appropriate time. And such a blessing that my daughter Jennifer was able to receive one of these very special blessings. And I'm very grateful as to how God uses me for my family and for the family of humanity.
Thank you, Stormy.
Thank you, Stormy.
We love you, Stormy, and you are a blessing to us just being who you are.
Thank you.
You are an inspiration, Stormy. Letting God use you all the time is so wonderful. And blessings to your family and to Jennifer.
Yes, and I'll see Lori pretty soon when she brings a car to me next year. When she gets it ready, that will be another great blessing. And I tell both of my daughters, look, two of the most beautiful blessings I have ever received have shown up today.
Aww.
It always embarrasses them. They always tell Sandy, I said, you make my... all the other things that I do do not compare to what you mean to me, the blessings of my two daughters.
Of course.
Blessings for us all, because this is a time for family, and I want to bring that family energy into this blessing call. I'm thankful for the music, for Love Without End. Susan, Linda said something's following you. It may be a little bit of Stormy's music out there.
Could be.
because it's out there. It's out there. All right. Good afternoon, y'all.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, Stormy.
Oh, yeah. Very merry.
All right, Glenda. We have Iman, our last caller for today. Hi, Iman.
Aloha. Hi, aloha. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Aloha. Can you hear me? I'm on cell phone. Okay. I just would like to, I haven't been on the call for a while, and it's so... my heart, is always here. I just wanted to say thank you, Glenda, and the community of just for just carrying this truth, love, light into the world. Mm-hmm. I live by this. I live by Love Without End and Keys of Jeshua. I live by it. I breathe it. I live by it. And my house is surrounded by everything. First Light, paintings of Master Jeshua. I take it with me. Love Without End. Wherever I go, Glenda, when I go to my yoga studio where I teach, I take it with me. I set up, the book is like my altar. So I live with this, and I live with you, because you brought this out to all of us. So I thank you for first and foremost. And what's in my heart right now is I'm asking for guidance and prayer for living my true self. Like, I'm moving forward with my fulfillment. It took me years But I finally made the choice to just do this, be this, and take it to the next level, which is I'm a singer. I sing. I don't want to say I'm a singer because I, like you said earlier, beingness is what brings out ego, fictional self. And I am Iman that loves to sing, and I would like to be able to deliver this on a in my, you know, next chapter of my life and make a living from it. I'm currently doing it on a small level, and people are loving it, and I love it. It gives me life. It gives me the energy to move on with life. And it's, so I just ask for your love, your blessing, that I make wise choices, and that I'm safe, and that I meet the right people and connections that will take me to the next level of my growth in this pathway.
Okay. Yeah. That's a wonderful request, because that's a request for restoration.
Yes. Yes.
The reunion of your life to the creation of your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, this is a great conclusion to a communion on a very special day with the most special people in my life. I love you all, and it doesn't matter if you speak up. If you've got something to say, we always love hearing it. But God reads your heart, and the fact that you show up means you're making a request. You're asking for the blessing, or you wouldn't be here. You're opening yourself to that access of divine touching. Not, God just touches us. He doesn't have to reform us, literally in the sense of manipulating and making adjustments within our being, because He created it perfectly from the beginning. And He just touches us, and the perfection comes back. And now that perfection sometimes has to filter through layers that we created while we were chasing new cookies. And, you know, life throws cookies at us, and we go for the next cookie. And then we go for the next one and the next one, eating them along the trail, and we leave crumbs behind. But other than the few crumbs we left behind, we don't have a happy trail back to home. But fortunately, the home is inside you. The home is you. It's your sacred heart. It's your innermost being. It's the place where you draw the power of your life. You think you draw it from service, income, talent, creation, food, nourishment, exercise, and so forth. We think we draw our power, our energy and our power for living and surviving from the world outside us, and we draw it in. It's actually not at all true. People can live on virtually nothing and have more power than the people who worry about having nothing. So what we all need is to find that fountain of being, that fountain of love, that fountain of true self that is within. And it's not that far below the surface, actually. We just wrap the world around us, and so it looks like that perfect and pure self is deep inside, but it's not that far in, really. When I pull the layers off of the painting first light, there's only a microscopic difference between one layer and the next. And yet each layer removed was a transformative experience. And it doesn't take much to get back to your true self. One of the things it takes most of all is faith. Faith that you are the true self created by God. And then honor this true being. Stand tall in yourself. And one of the biggest things that I think we can use to make a difference in this world, the earth doesn't need this. The earth is
amazingly honest at every moment. You cannot fake a leaf. Well, you can have fake flowers, but everybody knows they're fake. Okay. You can't fake anything about the way a tree lives and survives. It is what it is, and a tree has an honest relationship to the earth. Or it dies and moves somewhere else to be another tree. But in the world, most things are not honest. There are a few things that may be honorable in the sense that they are created and maintained with good intention, with service, with affection and respect. So there's some things that are honorable, but very few things that are honest because, you know, we even get into the habit of telling little white lies to make somebody feel better. Oh, you look great today. When actually, the most beneficial thing you could say is, can I get a chair for you? You look like you could use a little bit of energy today. And then they would know somebody actually cares about them. You know, you don't have to say you look horrible. You can withhold your tongue. You don't have to say everything you're thinking. But you could say something gentle like, could I get you something to drink? Pull a chair up for you. We'll sit and talk. You know, you still get the message across, but you get it across in a way that cares. And being more honest in a very deceptive world is a very good way to move forward. And honest about your feelings, honest about your heart, your goals. I have to say it's not always safe to tell somebody everything about what you're hoping to do because it's not their job to understand that. And if you ask them to applaud something that hasn't been created yet, they may give you a skeptical opinion. So I'm not saying you tell them everything about your intention, but be honest about what you're doing in the world, what you'd like to see, where you'd like to go. You draw help to you. You really do. You draw people to you that would like to see you do it. And you just got to get out there and have the courage to be who you are. And you'll be surprised at how well they'll accept it. And they don't accept it because they like exactly who you are. Here's why they'll accept it. It's because you being who you are helps them to be who they are. And they really like that. We don't have to be the same, my friends. And we don't have to worry about diversity. There's no two people alike. Really, diversity should be a big deal on a planet where no two things are alike. Well, I think what they're really getting to is diversity within the range of acceptance. So diversity is not the problem. Acceptance is the problem. But the reason we don't accept more is because we look at people and we're looking at the hype. We're looking at all the makeup, all the designer clothes or the latest hip jeans, and we're thinking, that's not who that person is. That person shows you who they are. You will find you'll mostly accept it. You may not understand it at first, but you'll accept it. And the more they give you to view them, the more you'll accept it because the more you will give them to accept you. And the two of you will like that level of exchange. It's called honesty. It's called honesty of being, honesty of presence, and honesty of intention. You know, it works. That's how I'm going to conclude on that little presentation. It works. Now we're going to get on to something else that works. And that is being closer to God works. Having the Holy Spirit with you works. Sharing your love with the love of Christ works. In every conceivable way because of the sheer, noble, sublime, and divine honesty within it. These are the creators of the universe. These are the ones that were there when your life was put on the drawing board. God said, I knew you long before you were even in your mother's womb. That's in Jeremiah, if you want to look it up. I knew you from the beginning of time. I named you. Well, okay. So for a lot of people, finding their true name has been an epiphany. For me, it doesn't matter much because I know who I am. And that doesn't really need a name right now. At some point it may. Okay. But we're going to get ready to receive this blessing. And it's going to be a special blessing today because it's on the eve of the day we celebrate as the birthday of Christ. And the day we honor him as the Lord of creation. So what I want you to do is just relax, preferably seated, because we're going to connect with the earth through your feet and the heaven through your head pointed upward. Now, please be barefoot if you can, and if you can't, have natural fiber on your feet. Don't have your head covered unless your faith requires it, and just be open to energy coming from the earth and energy coming from the heavens, because it will pour through you from both directions and then back from one direction into the other and beyond. And it will do this several times, many times, because it's traveling at the speed of light. How many times could it do it in the few minutes we're conducting the blessing? Now, the blessing givers and I have been taught in the levels of surrender that are necessary for us to convey this energy for you. One of the reasons that you and I in our daily lives don't receive this blessing all the time is because of all the layers of covering we walk around, coverings from the world, roles we play in the world, goals we have in the world, failures we had in the world, clothes we wear, identities we share. You know, all the layers of the world, and it doesn't transmit that energy very well. The energy of the universe is all energy. Everything in it is energy. It was created for energy, and it was propelled by light. Okay. So, we as blessing givers, we're like, TV channels. The vibrations are there, and we help channel it to you. And that's how we've been trained. But the energy does not come from us. We learned how to surrender and be a safe conduit of that energy, not to distort it, simply to conduct it for you, to receive for you. And it all begins with a prayer, my prayer to Yeshua, because he wants us to ask. And we ask through prayer. And once I have finished my prayer, then you will begin your prayer, which can be aloud if you're muted, or it can be quiet. And just be relaxed in your heart. I just reminded myself to mute everybody. So if you want to pray aloud, you can do so. And not everybody will be disturbed by your prayer. So feel free to sing. Some people come together as families and groups or partners in life, and they pray together. And I think that's wonderful. So I would recommend, though, you don't hold hands, okay, because the energy coming through is specifically for you and for everyone else that you may be joining for the blessing with. And there's nothing else for you to do, just to pray and receive. Your prayer opens the gateway for you to receive. We will bring the blessings in a safe conduit for you to receive. And the first thing we do is just relax. So let's do some little relaxing right now. Let's just extend our legs and our arms to where we can feel the stretch. That's, you know, this is not yoga. No exertion is necessary, just enough extension that you can feel the stretch, because that stretch will open everything in that particular extension, your left leg and then your right leg. Turn your neck to the right and the left and tilt it down and back. Move your torso around, pivot it so that you open up the flow from your shoulder to your hip. And you get that special flow through the organs of your body. And if you can, now let's just stand together for a minute so you can stand on your legs and extend and make a little windmill, okay? And then another little windmill. And bend over a little bit, just enough to stretch the backs of your legs, okay? And then bring your knee up if you can, just enough to exercise the forward muscles of your leg, kind of like you're marching, if you can. If you're not stable, hold a doorknob, okay, or lean on a table. But it's good to bring the muscles and the tendons of your leg into an active state so they can conduct energy flowing in an active way, okay? And again, let's just stretch a little bit, twist around the torso. And now the shoulders, I want you to bring your arms up and then fold them in to your chest. So your elbows are like little bird wings, and I want you to flap them, okay? Because that's going to stretch the muscles over your lungs. It's going to help to open your lungs so that your breath is fuller. You can breathe deeper and press more out, okay? And then let's make windmills out of our arm. Okay. Now, we are ready to take a very deep breath. Fill your lungs as far as you can. Lower your diaphragm. Pull it down and expand the capacity of your lungs. Okay, full, 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 and hold it for a second or two. And now exhale thoroughly, pushing up against your lungs to push it all out and squeezing upon your chest to get it all out. Pause for a minute. And now let's take another deep, deep, full breath, okay? Yeah. Feel the organs inside your body being nourished and massaged, okay? Now let's breathe out and fold yourself in to push it all out, okay? Yeah. Standing up, or at this point, if you want to sit back down, go ahead. We just want to have a normal breath that we count to four on. We want you to just exhale just normally to the count of four. I'm not going to count for you because it's your count. Now, pause. Don't breathe in immediately. Just pause to the count of four. Now breathe in to the count of four. And pause to the count of four. These pauses are the most important because after an exhale, the pause is your gift back to the earth. After your inhale, your pause is the gift back to yourself. You've got to give these gifts. So let's do it again. Exhale to the count of four. Pause to the count of four. Inhale to the count of four. Pause to the count of four. Exhale to the count of four. Pause to the count of four. Inhale to the count of four. Pause to the count of four.
I would like you to continue that during my prayer to Yeshua. Beloved Son of God, perfection even before the creation of man, we thank you that you surrendered to live among us and let us know again what we were capable of being, of how to love, how to give of ourselves, and how to receive the gifts of the Lord. We thank you for releasing that element of our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, that could now continue living among us while you resume your life on high. We thank you for being with us whenever we call you, for helping us to know ourselves again, helping us to know our reason for living again, for restoring our life again. On this special day, in honor of you, we pray for all of those who have not yet known you, that in this year, millions and billions will know you. We pray in this coming year that your light will shine upon us all. We pray in this coming year that the hungry will be fed, the children will be loved and cared for, and wars will cease. We pray for peace on earth, and we pray for nobility in our actions. We're probably not yet ready to be perfect, but we can be noble. We can build our integrity. We can strive for the highest level of it, of morality and kindness, of generosity and helping, to love our neighbors as ourselves. We thank you for restoring our connection to our Heavenly Father and being able once again to receive his love, which was always there, but we didn't know it was ours to take. Now we know that his love is ours to take, and you are our brother to pattern our life from. We thank you that you came to be with us. We seek to be with you now, forever and ever. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me in giving the blessing?
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, you need to continue receiving. And the way you do it is by lying down, just flat on your back, on a bed, or a sofa. Anything that you can stretch out on flat. At this point, don't be vertical. Okay. This is a pose of receiving and surrendering. And don't think, don't continue to pray. Just receive. Be a blank slate on which the blessings of God can be written. Bye-bye for now from me. And have an absolutely wonderful, holy Christmas Day. Much love to all of you, now and forever.